Stay tuned for the Connected Kingdom Podcast, connecting truth with life in a digital world. Yeah. Here are your hosts, Tim Challies and David Murray.
And welcome to another episode of the Connected Kingdom Podcast. I'm Tim Challies, he's David Murray, and David's going to be doing a lot of the talking today. I've been jetting around the South the last little while. I've been in Atlanta, I've been in Huntsville, I've been in Nashville, and I got home in the middle of the night last night. So David, I think you're going to have to carry the load today.
Tim, I'm used to it. You know, you're usually a blubbering idiot anyway, so it's just degrees really we're talking about.
There you go. Now, what we want to talk about today is this is the second podcast in this series as we take this course from Ligonier Ministries together, this course on the Old Testament prophets and leading up to the wisdom literature. And we've got a lot of people coming along with us. I believe on last count we had almost 1,200 people taking the course.
Yeah, I think this must be the largest Christian MOOC in the world, Tim. You know what that is, of course, Massive.
I have no idea.
Was it Massive Online something course or something like that?
There you go.
There you go. I see. I knew all about it. Yeah, it must be fairly unique. It's an online Christian course with 1,200 students. So we welcome every one of you and look forward to getting to know you as well.
Yeah, and Jim from Ligonier sent along just a few of the countries people are connecting from. So we've got people taking the course from Nigeria, South Africa, Kenya, Uganda, then into the Middle East. We got Saudi Arabia and the UAE and Egypt and even Turkey. And then in Asia, we've got India, Thailand, Malaysia, Japan, China, Philippines. It goes on and on all through South America. And it seems the whole world is represented. And if you are listening in, then be sure to check the blog. You'll see a map there just showing where people are connecting from. It's pretty amazing what the internet has done even to learning and to learning about the Lord together. So this is really exciting.
I think it is too, Tim, even to drill down to individuals. If everyone who's on the course looks at people's bios, it's fascinating. You've got people like Eric from Nairobi, Kenya. Welcome, Eric. He's a trained electrical engineer, currently running his own photography business and looking forward to learn more about the Bible. Let me see if I can see this. Abhilash from Bangalore wants to help people know the centrality of Christ so that they become his disciple.
Yeah, and Dave connected. Well, he's a missionary pastor from England, currently living in Siberia. We've got David, who's in Turkey. He says he's close to where the Cappadocian fathers lived, and he's grateful for opportunities to learn and grow from a distance. So,
now, Tim, you said Cappadocian fathers as if you knew what that was all about. Do you?
I have no idea, but I thought I could get away with it.
It sounds kind of academic and intellectual, isn't it?
Yeah. You had to call my bluff.
Now, well, let me do one more here. Catherine from the Isle of Lewis, my old stomping ground. Welcome to Catherine. Left school, now working at a doctor's surgery.
All right. Now, why don't you give us a brief take on what it was we heard from Dr. Sproul in this, the first lesson we've taken with him.
Okay, now you're putting me on the spot here. Did he really watch this lecture? Well, I can honestly say I did. And learned, actually, a lot from it, covering a lot of territory, obviously. But I think the main thing is just the life and times of the prophet Elijah and how he's so typical, how his ministry really forms a bit of a prototype for all subsequent prophets. We looked at some of the major events in his life, and of course with that main focus being on the confrontation with the prophets of Baal. What I really like about how Ligonier have set out this course is not just you've got that great video lecture, but you've got a great outline there as well in the PDF that you can download, and it really helps not just to watch the lecture more intelligently, but in terms of review of the lecture, I think it's a great format to really seal the lessons. And didn't Dr. Sproul look a bit younger, Tim?
Yeah, just a wee little bit, but still with the blackboard, always with the blackboard. One of my takeaways as well was the tight connection between Elijah of the Old Testament and then pointing to the prophecies of the New Testament, especially to John the Baptist. Mm. And the lecture began, of course, with the very end of the Old Testament and the prophecy, the prediction that Elijah would return. And it never really occurred to me before that Elijah had been carried away and so had not died. in that sense. And then, of course, so the Jewish people today are waiting for his return as the prophet who did not go to the grave.
Yeah, I think we've got a question on that later on from one of the students. One of the things as well, I felt as I read this account again, was just how similar Elijah's day is to our own. He was in a day of great intimidation and confrontation, and just like ourselves. And you've got that question when Elijah is taken up to heaven. Elisha asks, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I think that that's certainly a sentiment that comes out of our own hearts when we're looking at the kind of scary culture we're in terms of the opposition to Christianity. And yet, maybe the question that's being challenged to us is, where are the Elijahs? Never mind, where's the Lord God of Elijah?
Yeah, there you go, because we know that God is the same yesterday and today and forever. So he has not changed, and yet we're definitely in a different era. We're in the post-Christ as opposed to the era leading up to Christ. And of course, we're in the era now where we have the full and final complete revelation in Scripture. So while God is the same, certain things have changed.
Indeed. Let's move on. Discussion questions after the lecture. Some of these I just found so heartwarming. The question given was, God granted Elijah great victory over the prophets of Baal, even though humanly speaking he was outnumbered. How has the Lord granted you success against overwhelming odds? And there are hundreds of answers on this online, and it's just such a spiritual treat to go through these and really see and read about God's mighty works to this day in people's lives. Tim, I don't know if any of these struck you.
Yeah, there was one by somebody named Bronwyn who said, "I've experienced God's grace in my life at numerous times and in numerous ways. Particularly," she says, "I was given physical life by a young, single, teenage girl who then put me up for adoption. God brought me into a believing household and gave me parents who faithfully pointed me to him. He then brought me into his everlasting family against the odds of my sinful nature and prideful independence. Since then, I've experienced his mercies new every morning and can testify to his great faithfulness." So I love to read of that.
I thought it was a beautiful story. Yeah, I picked that one out as well. Mm-hmm. Also there, just a brief one from Priscilla. "God gave me victory over severe panic attacks that resulted from the guilt of a life of sin. He made me a new creature in the process. I'm on a continuous victory lap." Mm-hmm. Love that.
Yeah, and there were several that testified to people overcoming illness, just the Lord's grace to them, or through financial difficulties. And we don't have to go looking far to find so much evidence that God continues to work in amazing ways in the lives of his people today.
Yeah, even physical healing struck me there, and mission opportunities too. Yeah. There was one that close to home here in West Michigan. There was an Andrew who says, "I preach in Spanish. I come from a small town in Western Michigan that's upwards of 90% white. Yet God has greatly blessed me in that I've learned a lot of Spanish, and I even preach to a congregation of Spanish speakers with various nationalities, yet they keep coming back, and some even tell me they look forward to me preaching. I'm not a pastor yet, just pulpit supply, but this is really not something I would have expected for a guy like me."
Yeah, there you have it. Now, another question was, what is the role of a prophet? How has Dr. Sproul's lecture changed your understanding of the primary role of a prophet? Maybe you could speak to that a little bit.
Well, I think what a lot of the answers said from maybe over half the people was nothing really changed in my view of a prophet. I kind of knew a lot of what Dr. Sproul was teaching. But maybe the one particular area that people felt they did learn something was seeing the prophet as a sort of prosecuting attorney. I think we're all familiar with the idea of prophet speaking to kings, prophet being a conscience of the people, prophet being both a foreteller and a forth teller. But this idea of a prosecuting attorney, I think Dr. Sproul put it well. You know, he said it in the context of God and covenant with Israel. And the prophets were really sent to call Israel to account, and especially the king of Israel, and to show them what God's demands were, where they were falling short, calling them back to obedience, and really announcing curses if they disobeyed. And of course, this is part of the role of the preacher to this day, and of every Christian, is calling people to account, as it were, being God's prosecuting attorney, but also, thankfully, having the message of mercy as well.
Right. And so the prosecuting attorney grows specifically out of that covenantal relationship, right, where there's that legal or contractual relationship, so to speak, between God and his people. And then you do need the prosecuting attorney come then and to explain how they violated the terms and to warn of the consequences and all of this.
And he's sent out of love, obviously. Mm-hmm. The covenant overlord, as it were, God, Jehovah, sends this prophet because he sees this is damaging to these people as well as damaging to their relationship to him. So I think it's to see it in terms of covenant love, not just, you know, somebody out to smash them, but calling them back to himself. Yeah. And what I've noticed as I've studied the Old Testament is these prophets of Israel, the number of them increased and multiplied, especially when the people were going astray and especially when the king was going astray. So I think, again, you see that these are messengers of divine love.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think no matter how many times I hear it, I still benefit from hearing the difference between foretelling and forthtelling, because over time I do fall back into seeing the prophets very specifically as people who are telling future events. Here's what will happen. And yet it's important to continually come back and say, well, that may be true, but more than anything, they were just telling truth. They were saying, here is what's true and here is what God's calling you to.
Hmm. I've actually tried to make that distinction in the pulpit before, Tim, and got into all sorts of bother. We got all my fours and fourths mixed up big time.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, you know, when you look at the Old Testament prophets, and yeah, if you were to put in two columns what was prophecy, you know, in terms of predicting the future, what was prophecy in terms of telling forth God's word, preaching the word, basically, the amount of forthtelling to foretelling is probably in the region of 9-1 or 10-1.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we should try and get to a couple of the questions that people submitted. We had lots of questions, lots of discussion. We could go so many different ways. Some of those went with the foretelling and forthtelling, but one that stood out to me was Daniel asking, should we expect prophets like Elijah to be ministering today? Why or why not?
Yeah, what I liked about these questions was that everyone jumped in to answer them, because we ended up, I think, with some like 12, 13 questions, and I don't think you or I are going to be able to answer all these ourselves. So listeners, students, keep doing this. This is great. You've mm-hmm. provided some fantastic answers to these questions, and you've saved me and Tim a lot of work as well. And you've taught us as well. Brian answered that one, I think, wasn't it, on that question? And he basically says there are no prophets today. He points to Hebrews 1:1 and says how God has spoken unto us in the past by the prophets, in these last days by his Son. You agree with that, Tim?
Yeah, I do. And you can go through Hebrews and just look for the word better, this continual comparison between a past reality and a current reality, the reality before Christ and the reality in and because of Christ. And you find that Jesus Christ was the ultimate prophet. And I think it was very helpful to have Dr. Sproul talk about Jesus being there with Elijah and with Moses. There was the law and there was the prophets, and they were attesting that he was the fulfillment of the law and the fulfillment of the prophets. So we don't need Elijahs in that same sense today, because we have Jesus Christ, and through him we have the scriptures.
That was really Tamara's answer as well to that. I thought she gave a great brief paragraph response to that question. One of the more controversial ones, Tim, is the whole idea of the church being called to utter prophetic criticism when the nation strays. That was one of the points Dr. Sproul made. And Gail asked about that. Are there any verses that support that? I think probably that question is born out of a bit of a fear, because we've seen the church go over political. Mm-hmm. And you know, so we sort of say, well, should we be getting involved in that at all? What do you think, Tim?
Yeah, I struggle with this one in some ways, but my sense of it is that we're not calling the nation back to obedience. We're not calling it back to the Lord, because this isn't, don't mean to offend my American friends, but America is not the new Israel. I live in Canada, and Canada is not the new Israel, but we are calling people to what the Lord commands. We are to be continually doing that, and now calling them ultimately to the gospel. So we're not calling them to return to something, we're calling them to turn.
Yeah, and in the sense of, you know, our duty is to testify to God's truth and to call people to conformity with it, even outwardly, although ideally, of course, and savingly, we want the obedience to be from the heart. And therefore, leaders, rulers, governors, presidents are still themselves obliged to obey the word of God. I think Gail gave a great, she gathered together all the answers to that and gave a great summary of how to think about this issue and provides a lot of great verses.
Yeah. True, true. Well, David, I think we should probably step away right now. I think there's many more questions we could look at, but...
Oh, no, no, hold on. Not so quick, Charles. No, I'm going to test you on one thing here before we go. Yeah.
Did I mention that I didn't get home until 2:30 last night?
No excuses. No, no, come on. You're well able to answer this. It's actually from the reading given in the passage. It's related to 1 Kings 22. God's use of evil spirits and lying prophets. How did God put a lying spirit in the mouths of the prophets? How can the God of truth do this? Just an easy one for you, Tim, just to round off. How would you answer that one?
I'd say, you know, I've got a friend who's a professor of Old Testament, and I'd love to just consult with him and get back to you on that one.
Oh, great. Okay, well, let us know when you speak to him again, will you?
All right. I'll be sure to do that. David, I've got no idea how I would answer that one.
Well, why don't we make that a test to our fellow students? It's online. It's a great question. It's actually one of the key passages of Old Testament apologetics. It's one that a lot of non-Christians know about. And we need a good answer to this. It does look as if God of truth put a lying spirit in the mouth of prophets. How do we answer that? So let's leave that hanging there, and we'll come back to it next week. How about that?
That sounds great. So we'll talk again a week from today. And if you're listening and taking the course, then you should be moving on to Isaiah as of today, correct?
That's correct. I'm looking forward to that. It's my favorite Old Testament prophet. And also just to say to people, please do answer some of these questions that others are asking, that we can really help one another learn along the way, as well as from the lectures from Dr. Sproul.
Great. He's your favorite. I find him very, very difficult and very, very confusing. So I'm looking forward to it in a very different way, and I'm sure we'll both benefit.
I presume you're not talking about Dr. Sproul here.
No, I'm talking about Isaiah.
Okay, very good. We'll let you off then.
All right. See you next week.
See you, Tim.
You've been listening to the Connected Kingdom Podcast with Tim Challies and David Murray. Yeah. You can subscribe to the podcast via iTunes or join the discussion on our Connected Kingdom Facebook page.